Hi, I'm David Hankins.
And I'm Paul Hankins.
And you're on the air with Power Squared. We have a special guest today, Trevor Hankins, who is our letterer on Power Squared. Hello, Trevor. Trevor, we're here to talk about the importance of lettering. We've talked before about looking for, you know, an artist and putting together the Avengers, as we call them. And Trevor has been there from the beginning, and he's been our letterer from the beginning.
Yeah.
And we thought it was nice or about time to point the spotlight at him.
Yeah.
So your job on the comic book is to letter it based on the script.
Yes.
And what sort of software do you use to actually do this?
I use Adobe Illustrator to letter it.
Okay.
I was using this. I'm forgetting the name of it right now. I was using this book as a guideline on how to do it, and it was like how to do it through Illustrator.
Okay. So that's so the process is, as we know it, is that the artist does the, you know, Rachel does the drawing.
Yeah.
And does inks and sends us a TIFF file. We send that TIFF file to the colorist,
who is now Julia Cannon.
Right. And we have not sent her anything yet, but we will. And then once the colorist is done, it comes back to us as a TIFF file, and we send it to you using WeTransfer.
Yes.
I send it to you using WeTransfer.
Yes.
And then you take the script and you match the dialogue to the little bit of space you have to put the dialogue in.
It's a wordy book.
Yes. Yes. I think we've admitted to that many times, but you have to actually deal with that. And one of the things that we like about the fact that you're the letterer is that if you want to, you can edit stuff because you're part of the whole creative process. It's not like you're somebody that we've never met and just, oh, I thought I'd change it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're somebody that you're part of the family, and, therefore your changes are, you know, acceptable to us. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that gives you a certain amount of freedom to edit as you think you should.
I just remembered the name of the book that I was using as a reference.
Uh-huh.
Something like Lettering Comics, The Comic Craft Way.
Okay. Is there one font in particular that you use, or do you use different fonts for different, I guess, situations in the story?
I use for the comic, I use a specific font.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the classic comic font through Adobe Typekit.
Okay.
It's one of the free fonts.
Okay.
It's not one of the, like, default fonts that's included in their programs. You have to, like, go to Typekit and find it.
Right.
So I was looking for a font that looked like a standard comic book font.
Right.
And I found that and thought it was perfect.
Okay. Is it just one font, or do you sometimes vary it up?
I use that font. That's the font I use for dialogue.
Okay.
When I had to do the sound effects, or when I had to do all of them, I used a different font.
Right, now it seems like Rachel's actually putting in the sound effects.
Yes.
Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay.
That's less work for
me. Yeah, and one of the things that I always give you credit for is that we have them talking telepathically, and you came up with that little box, and you were the one, right?
Yeah.
And the idea of you put the color around the box to match the, I guess it's the eyeglasses and the color scheme of the character, right? Red for Eli and blue for Marty.
Yeah, it was those are the colors associated with those characters, like their shirts and stuff.
Right.
So I went off of that. And I used for Mocha. When she does that, I use purple because purple is red plus blue, and she was the one that gave them their powers.
I always thought that was very clever, because you just did that, and it works. Once people get used to it, that red is blue, you know, red is for Eli and blue is for Marty, then it just reads. I always thought that was a very clever thing you did. So we're giving you credit for that here on the air with Power Square.
I was inspired to do that because I've seen it in comics before where sometimes when a specific character speaks, there's like an extra thing around the balloon.
Uh-huh.
It's like a different color.
It works for us. And yes. I thought that was really good. Anything you want to add?
Comic book lettering is sort of an overlooked art with comics.
Yes.
Because a bad lettering job can just make it unreadable.
Right. And that was, I remember when the first issue we did, which is the first issue you lettered.
Yes.
You got some feedback from Chip at Comixology.
Yes.
And you seemed to take that to heart, right?
Yes.
And I think it was the shape of the balloons or something was more his concern.
Yeah.
And, you took that to heart, and you've been doing a really good job ever since. We're up to issue 12.
Yeah.
Which we just reviewed. And just like with the thumbnails and the art and the coloring, Paul and I sit down and review it, not necessarily as quickly as we should, but we do come down before we release an issue and take a look at the lettering, make sure it's right, and we give you some feedback and ask you to make little changes. Usually it's like maybe a word or a comma or something, but usually something major, right?
Yeah.
And we just got through doing that with issues 10 through 12. So those are ready to go out to the Kickstarter people.
Yes.
And those will come out hopefully soon, and then those will come out later in the year, or start to come out later in the year, is our plan.
Yeah.
Right. And then now that we have a colorist, then we can send her issue 13, and then the pipeline will then feed you.
Yes.
Right. So it's been a couple of months since you've done that for us. So Adobe is that sort of the standard to use as far as software?
From my understanding, it seems to generally be a standard program to use.
And it's one of those you have to, you don't own it, you're renting it, right?
Yeah. At some point they made it like subscription based.
Yeah. So that's, you know, Paul and I have a sort of a older version of it that you could buy and own, but yours has all the bells and whistles.
Yes.
That ours doesn't have.
Yeah, the closest I've got is paint.net, which is basically the poor man's Photoshop.
So,
I still have paint.net. I typically just use that to like resize images if I have to, like say for like my website, or if a portfolio submission requires like a specific size.
Okay, do you want to talk at all about your own website?
My website is trevorhankinsart.com.
Okay.
I basically just use that as sort of a quick portfolio type thing.
Are you uploading images to it on a regular basis, or?
I upload stuff sort of, I'll admit, sort of irregularly.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's sort of sporadic.
Uh-huh.
It's like basically when I think I have something that's good enough to like present as a portfolio piece.
Okay.
In this day and age, I understand the importance of like having something like Instagram.
Uh-huh.
However, I'm not the only one that's sort of been going through this.
Okay.
Like even knowing that I don't have one like yet.
Okay.
Because I actually did try before, and I got like extremely like nervous and sort of having a small panic attack over.
Right. Okay. But it is important to have your stuff out there where people can see it.
Yes. And I have actually been giving thought to, like, the kind of stuff I would post on there. So I'm, like, been sort of gradually mentally preparing myself for the idea of having one.
Also, you don't want to be, like, one of those guys who just posts every sketch they make.
Yeah, I was actually told by one of my teachers at the Animation Guild actually brought up that you shouldn't just do that.
Right. As I always credit Pete Townsend for this, which I'm sure he's not the first person, but you do bad work and show good work.
Yeah,
exactly.
And but you don't throw anything away. That was his own thing. You never know. Yeah. So, all right. Anything else you want to talk about yourself? There's an audience of one or two out there.
I've been working on a project of my own.
Right.
Which I had considered using stuff like Instagram as a promotional platform for.
Right.
However, I don't think it's like... I don't think I'm, like, ready to announce it yet, because it's still in the...
This is your own project, your own comic book?
Yeah.
Okay. So, we've talked about maybe putting that into an issue of Power Square at some point, release it yourself, right?
I'm talking about a different one.
Oh, that, okay. Yeah. All
right.
Wow.
There is a comic that we had, it was, like, made for another thing that seems to sort of kind of fallen through.
Disappeared off the face of the earth, yes.
Yeah, so, there was the possibility of, we did consider putting that into an issue just to, like, put it out there.
Right.
I am working on a separate project.
Okay.
I don't think I'm ready to, like, publicly go into specifics yet.
Okay. Well, when you are, you can come back on the show and tell us about it. How's that?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So, I think that about wraps it up, unless there's something else you want to mention?
If you've been following Sonic Week on Trophy Unlocked...
Yes. Who hasn't been?
we just wrapped up all of the planned reviews... ending with the OVA, which was originally called Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie over here. So tomorrow we're going to actually watch the movie.
We're talking about February 15th.
Yeah.
Because in case someone's listening to this.
Yeah, if you're listening to this in the future. February 15th, we're going to actually watch Sonic the Hedgehog.
Right in the theater.
Yes. And then theoretically Sunday we should be able to put up an actual review.
So that will culminate... Sonic Week.
Yes.
Right. Okay. All right. So until next time, I'm David Hankins.
And I'm Paul Hankins.
And I'm Trevor Hankins.
And this has been On the Air with Power Squared.